Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s. And each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Stuff we don't see, and the players like Therese Hoskins. Like, I think for fans, he's a frustrating player because there's highs and lows, right? He's not very good defensively, and he goes into slumps, but he also hits a lot of, you know, he gets a lot of production. But the other stuff we can't see. He's been a leader on this team, and he's their longest tenured position player. Like, yeah. Nola beat him here by a couple years as a pitcher, but of all the players we watch every day on the field, the position players, he's the longest tenured guy.
Yeah, man, and you talk about what he went through last year. You know, fans know it, and the fact that when you see players, see how hard he's been working and how much this means to him and how he's going to get back. That's another thing that guys respect about him. And that's one of those things that makes him an endearing guy, is they see how hard he's been working and how big this season was potentially going to be for him.
Yeah, when, and a lot of these guys, especially the ones that have gotten paid, they sense it, right? But they knew this was his turn, whether it be the Phillies or it be a different team. He's going to get a decent contract after the season, and that might be out the door now. 215-592-9494 to hop in, react to the Rhys Hoskins injury, ACL. The Phillies announced that it is official, and now they go about replacing him and moving forward here. Our Twitter question, sponsored by PI Dental Center. Your smile is the first thing others see when they meet. You learn about and schedule your evaluation at PIDentalCenter.com. So early on, it's trending towards, Kyle Quinn, a Nick Castellanos poll today?
Yeah, and I respect that about Philadelphians, that we look at the big money free agent and say, look, dude, you need to step up and you need to be better than you were last season. I think that if there's one guy that the majority of Philly fans are putting on the hot seat, it's Castellanos. And I think, like me, a lot of people are giving Alec Boehm the pass because they've seen the growth last year and they've seen the desire to get better. With Castellanos, I don't think a lot of people have seen that, and I certainly haven't. So I am with the rest of the Delaware Valley.
Well, here's what I'll say about the two guys we've discussed the most today, Castellanos and Boehm. I trust Boehm more. You mentioned it, Kyle, that we've seen him like work hard. We've seen him, you know, get better. I think there's a really good chance that Boehm is going to step up and be the guy. I'll tell you right now, I am very skeptical Nick Castellanos is going to bounce back. Like, do I think he'll hit more than 13 home runs? Probably, because I think he's probably too good to be that bad again. But I don't know, Hugh, if he's going to go back to being what he was before he got here. I hope I'm wrong. I hope Castellanos is an all-star. I see red flags with this guy. I'm not sure if he's going to bounce back.
I think he's going to bounce back. But I think the guy that's going to be the surprise of this season is going to be Alec Boehm, because he's got it. He has his man body now. If you know, all the older guys understand exactly what I'm talking about. When you talk about, you know, going in the offseason, gaining that 10 pounds, the fact that your name is on everybody's lips in this spring training, your name is on everybody's lips. And everybody's talking about how much you've changed. And I'm pretty sure you're in the locker room getting conversation about what did you do in the offseason to do this, that, and the third. And your workout regimen has probably changed because you know how important this season is for you. And now, you know, you add on the fact that Rhys Hoskins is hurt, your number is probably going to be called. You're probably going to be asked to do a little bit more than you were asked to do before.
Yeah.
So, yeah, you got to step up to all of that.
I also think with Boehm, confidence is such a big thing. And for a first-round pick, he was the third pick in the draft. I never thought he had much confidence. And now when you watch him, you just watch him walk around the park. He walks around with confidence now. Like, I don't know if he ever thought he was that good, even though he's supposed to be good. Now you watch Alec Boehm play, and it does feel like he has a confidence about him, which could make a big difference. Nick is in Claymont. Nick is up on the Midday Show. What's up, Nick?
How you doing, fellas?
What's going on, man?
What's up, Nick?
Man, I hate to you know, it is never a good time for an injury, like, especially a nightmare injury like this, a big guy like that, you know, it's part of the team, but it might be a blessing in disguise. Some of the young guys that step up and maybe Nick will earn his money.
Well, you know, sometimes that happens. Hugh, a couple of years ago when the Braves lost Ronald Acuna Jr., they went and won the World Series without him. I mean, this happens. You know, different sports it happens, right? We know the Eagles won the Super Bowl when Carson Wentz went down. I think basketball, it's almost impossible, right? Like if the Sixers actually lost Joel Embiid, it's over. But baseball, it's a team game. There's 26 of them.
Circle the wagons, man.
Yeah. Yeah.
And there's been plenty of
season to it.
Yeah, but there's been plenty of situations where I've been a part of where key individuals have been hurt. And the show doesn't stop. The train doesn't stop. And you know that as a player. It is too early for anybody to be feeling that this season is over, especially the players out there. If anything,
Indeed. This
reinforces what they've already been feeling. Everything that they've talked about this offseason, in this spring training camp and everything, is still on the table for them.
Yeah.
It just makes it a little bit tougher, but they're built for it. Look at the road that they were on last year and what they were able to do. You look at that and be like, man, hell, we came from the mud and we're able to make it to the World Series. This is a minor setback, no question about it. It's a big blow, but I think they're built for it.
Well, I do too.
Yeah, thank you, fellas.
Yeah, Nick, appreciate it, buddy.
Did I just talk somebody off the ledge?
Yeah, you did. Yeah, you're trying with me. It hasn't worked.
I feel like a counselor this morning.
Well, that's kind of what we are in most days.
Yeah, it is. Therapy session.
It's Philadelphia counseling for 4 hours a day in the midday show. But usually you're trying to counsel me, and I'm not.
No, you're doing a pretty good job today. You're not doom and gloom. Because, you know what, to be honest, I thought you were going to come in here and be like, oh, my God, the season's over. You didn't do that.
No.
You're looking for somebody to step up and fill that void. So that's good. That means we're on the right track.
We're making progress here?
We're making progress. Yeah.
And also it's such a long season. And the thing that gives me some hope here is they have so many
interchangeable pieces
and really star players, right? Look, we're going to have Trey Turner join us in a couple minutes here. Hugh, I think if he wasn't here, I probably would have a different feeling this morning, because then it's like, all right, no Bryce, no Reese. You know, we're hoping on these guys. We're talking about Castellanos, Bohm. But, like, here's one thing that everyone should feel good about, and he's going to join us in a few minutes. They've got the ESPN put their list out. They have a top 10 player in baseball now at shortstop.
Yes, they do, and he's fast. The one thing that I'm enamored with is the fact that, you know, he is still fast at a little bit older age.
Yeah, he's 30.
Like, his speed, we were talking about the stats or whatever, his speed hasn't fallen off at all.
Which is rare.
Yeah.
It almost reminds me of Darryl Green, the old corner in the NFL.
Yeah.
That guy never slowed down.
Yeah. He never covered that many people either, but I'm kidding. Much love for Darryl Green.
Let's talk to Tom in Abington. What's up, Tom?
Yo, fellas. How we doing tonight?
What's going on?
Hey, Tom.
All right, so if Mr. Lakin is listening, you guys are no longer allowed to go to Clearwater.
Why? What do we do? We get in trouble? We stayed out of trouble last night.
You guys hop on a plane and everything goes to hell in a handbasket. Hoskins gets carted off. We got rumors of this Dallas Ewok becoming an Eagle. I can't have it, man. No more trips to Florida. Sorry, guys.
Well, all right. We'll take it under, Tom, we'll take it under consideration, buddy. And you want to blame us. That's all right. All right, Tom, we appreciate the phone call. All right, joining us right now, very excited to talk to him, new Philly shortstop, Trey Turner, with us on the Midday Show. Trey, how you doing, man?
Good. How are you guys?
Pretty good. How you doing, Trey?
Good. All good here.
Yeah, unfortunately, and we'll start here so we can move to some better topics. We got the news. We saw the news last night. It was kind of confirmed this morning. Reese Hoskins, just, you know, give us the feeling in the clubhouse right now. We know how much, you know, I know you just got here, but it seemed like Reese, we know the player he is, but the leader he is, it just seems like it was hitting everybody yesterday and today.
Yeah, it sucks, man. You know, I've only been here, 3-4 weeks, but you can see he's one of the, you know, leaders in this clubhouse. He's our rep when it comes to CBA stuff. Puts a lot of effort, into this organization. He's been here a long time, and, I think this was his free agent year. So just, you know, everything going into this just sucks for him, and we feel so bad. He's going to be a huge part of our team, obviously, and, you hate to see it to happen to anybody, but definitely him, man. We were bummed, and we were all texting him yesterday to try to make him feel better, you know, and do everything we can, just be there for him. But, it's just a bad situation.
You know, my question is, I'm outside of the money, because, you know, you could have gotten paid anyway. What went into your decision to decide to come to Philadelphia?
Everything, man. I try to take everything into consideration, think about everything, think about it from all angles, outside, inside, ask questions, try to be unbiased wherever it may be, and just gather as much information I can, and then make a decision that makes me and my family happy. So just everything, whether it's, you know, I know the East Coast thing was a big deal, but East Coast and the situation, the team, the guys, the city, just everything was pointing me in this direction. We feel good about it, me and my family. We're excited, and I think we made the right decision based off these, you know, first 3 or 4 weeks have been unbelievable. We've had a blast, so it's been a lot of fun.
So how was it playing in the World Baseball Classic? Because my partner Joe, big baseball fan, made a joke saying, and Kyle as well, saying that you guys single-handedly, the Phillies, tried to win the World Baseball Classic. How was it playing in the Classic?
It was sick. It was unbelievable. It's different. It's hard to describe. It's hard to recreate because that passion these guys, you know, us and the other team has for their country is second to none. You can see it in Latin America and the Japan game. Just it's electric from beginning to end, and nobody wants to lose. We all want to win, but it's a hard tournament to win. It's hard not having that much room for error. You know, it's not a 7-game series. It's a 1-game elimination. So you got to be perfect, and you got to come together really quick. That was a message from our manager, Dero, early on, was to come together as fast as we could. And I think we did that. We did a pretty good job as a team, just getting along, hanging out, having fun. And I think that helped us, you know, get to where we got.
So where'd that power come from in the World Baseball Classic? That was, I know people know your game for your time in the division and obviously with the Dodgers, but I think people are now expecting big things power. So did that, it just happen? Just get pitches to drive?
A little bit of both. I mean, I think I did get some pitches to hit and just didn't miss them. But, you know, last year I thought I took a little bit step back offensively and just felt like I left a lot on the table, excuse me, and could have been better and wanted to be better. And coming into this year, you know, that's something I needed to get back to, is driving the ball. I thought in 20 and 21 I did a really good job of that. So, you know, last year I wasn't really satisfied, so trying to work on it, and I don't expect, you know, that to continue at that rate, obviously. But I do expect to, you know, hit for power. I want to be a dangerous hitter. I always said that. Don't want to be, you know, slap the ball around as a leadoff guy. I want to, you know, drive the ball at the ballpark. So hopefully a lot of that this year. But, yeah, that was fun. That was fun. I've never done anything like that. I don't think I've ever hit a homer in 3 or 4 straight games at, you know, in my career. So it was a good time. It was fun with the boys and the Phillies. You know, the Phillies had a good time doing it.
So what do you do to help maintain your speed? Because you're one of the fastest, the shortstops in the league. So what do you do to kind of maintain your speed? Do you, like, do wind sprints or something like that?
Yeah, in the offseason, I go to a guy that I've been going to since I was probably a sophomore in high school. You know, I was smaller in high school, and I wanted to get faster and started growing into my body. So I went to this guy to run properly and be efficient and whatnot. And I've continued to go to that guy in the off seasons ever since. And so I go to him 2 times a week and just do a lot of running, a lot of form. And then obviously getting in the weight room and just getting stronger always helps. So a combination of things, but I always pay attention to how I'm walking, how I'm running, making sure everything's, you know, sequenced up right. And, you know, I definitely put effort into it. It's definitely God-given, lucky in that aspect, but I work at it, try to stay healthy. I need to be on the field, you know, every day, and got to use that speed every day. So pay attention to it quite a bit.
So with the bases being a lot bigger and you being a guy that we're anticipating stealing about 50 bases this year, I put that pressure
on.
But do you notice that you had to change your approach a little bit because the bases are bigger, or you don't even worry about things like that?
Yeah, I don't think the base is that big of a deal. I think the clock's going to be a little bit the more important factor in stealing bases. I think the pitcher has to, you know, really focus on that and make sure they're doing their thing and they're in control of that. And sometimes I think that's going to take away from controlling the running game. So for me, I think that's where the bases will come from for everybody, not just myself. But I think, you know, guys like Schwarber and, you know, JT and whoever, guys that aren't necessarily, you know, 50 stolen base guys, I think they can pick up bags here and there because of that clock. So I don't know how it's going to play out. I've been gone. WBC hasn't had no clock, so that was a little different. But I think there's bases to be had, and we'll see how that works out.
You're kind of looking forward to the clock being a factor in the fact of you basically stealing bases, and people know that you have the potential to do that.
Yeah, for sure. And the limited pickoffs, I think that helps a lot too. Yeah, I know last year our first base coach for the Dodgers looked into it, and I had like double the pickoffs at anybody else in the league. So just not having to dive back so much and have all that attention on you all the time, I think is going to be nice. So I don't know if I'm still 50. I hope I still 50. But for me, it's about being efficient. I always want to be safe, right? So I want to score the run. I want, you know, Kyle, JT, Bryce, those guys to drive me in. So if I have to stay at first, I stay first, but I want to make it second and, you know, be safe. That's more important for me. So try to bring it all in, process it, and then make my decision.
We're listening to Trey, talking to Trey Turner here on the Midday Show. Trey, let's talk about the length of the contract. It's changed in baseball the last few years. I mean, you just would never see teams give out these really long contracts. You got 11 years. So was that something you wanted? Were you interested? Did the Phillies say to you, we want you, we want to spread it out? And then your position, there's not many shortstops. I could probably count them on one hand that played shortstop, you know, in their upper 30s into age 40. Is that something you think you can, you want to do down the line? Like your time here is going to be 11 years. How'd that come about, and what do you think about your position down the line?
Yeah, I didn't really have an expectation contract-wise. I didn't know what I was going to get. You know, my agent always said, and I like this, is, you know, the market kind of tells you what you're worth. So you can think you're worth, you know, $100 million, $500 million, whatever it is, but the market ultimately kind of tells you what you're worth. So going into that, I didn't really have expectations. I just knew that I wanted this to be my last contract. I wasn't trying to sign this to sign another one. I wanted to, you know, commit somewhere and be somewhere for the rest of my career. So that's kind of how I was looking at it. As far as 11 years, I think the game's changed a little bit. You know, I think in the 90s and early 2000s, there was a lot bigger guys. It was a lot about hitting the ball at the ballpark and not playing defense. And now the game's gotten a lot more athletic. I think obviously there's challenges when you get to that age. I'm not going to act like it's not going to be, or I'm not going to act like it's going to be a cakewalk, but, you know, I think guys are more athletic. I never wanted to gain a bunch of weight and just carry around 220 pounds and do all this. So I think body-wise, I can do it. So I will say I'm just a competitive guy. So I don't know what it looks like. I don't do predictions. I don't act like, you know, I'm going to be this or that. I'm going to compete. I know that. So I don't know what it looks like, but I plan to be as good of a baseball player as I can be for a long time. And, you know, I'm looking forward to that challenge and when it comes, and I'm excited to be here.
You sound like you're real regimented in the way that you approach the game, your workouts and everything like that. So take me through a regular Trey Turner day. How do you prepare? Like, what is your workout regimen? What do you eat during the course of the day? And how you're preparing yourself to play till you're like 41 years old? Because, you know, you got to start preparing like right now.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah. You know, I focus on the day in front of me. I think that's most important. I don't really care about tomorrow, and I don't care about yesterday. I focus on today. So I think for me, I do different things. I'm not necessarily – the day has to go so perfect. I try to kind of go with the flow a little bit, but I know there's certain things I want to work on throughout a day, right? So if, like, yesterday I messed something up defensively, then I know what I kind of want to work on that today. Or if I feel like I'm not driving the ball the other way, or I'm not hitting breaking balls or whatever it is, I kind of come into the park each and every day with kind of a little bit of a game plan in my head on what I want to work on and try to kind of complete my game. So, yeah, get in the weight room, get in the training room, try to do those things every day, whether it's, you know, a real high intensity or it's just kind of a lighter day, whatever it is. I try to stay on top of things. Obviously do my cage work, take that very seriously. Got a routine there. And then the same with the ground balls as well. You know, Bobby's been on me and Stott and the guys about ground balls, which I like. It's, you know, that's an area I think that I can get better, but also it's an area where you kind of like go through the motions sometimes and you know, I got my fungus today, but no, he's pretty intense out there. So I think every day is different, but I know I'm going to work on something, and kind of the day before kind of determines that for me.
Gotcha.
So Dave Dombrowski was on a few weeks ago on our morning show, and he mentioned that when they went to try to get you, they told you you were their first choice. Did you buy it? There were four great shortstops this offseason. Obviously, the contract they offered you let you know they wanted you. But take us into that. Like, did you feel the love from the Phillies? Because the way Dave made it sound was you were their number one choice, and the other three shortstops obviously also great players.
Yeah, no, he told me that. And but it's a business, right? So you gotta. Be careful with, you know, how much you believe. But, you know, I told him and I told the other teams I talked to is, look, I'm not trying to play games. I'm be honest with me. I'll be honest with you because I don't really do all that. I don't really care about all that dance. It's not fun for me. I didn't enjoy free agency as much as all these other people love it. And, you know, that's the goal in our game sometimes is to get to free agency, and I understand it. But, you know, for me, that wasn't the most fun couple months, but I remember that conversation, and you know, I think there's definitely truth to it because of the guys that are in this clubhouse with Bryce and Kay Long and Howie Kendrick in the front office and Schwarber and you know, a lot of guys I played with. So I think there was a lot of truth to it, but at the same time, you know, you got to be a little careful. So I think it worked out great. Like I said, is, you know, we had the meetings, talked with him, Sam and Topper, and just felt comfortable with it and got to know them. And then, you know, obviously the money matched up, and then just the situation matched up. It just felt right. So it started with that conversation, like you said, and now we're here.
I know you guys start out on the road, but when you come back to Philadelphia, the fans are going to be bananas. So what have you heard about the Philadelphia Philly fans?
Well, I played there a bunch. Usually they're screaming at me, right? But, you know, I always go back to that playoffs last year, man. I didn't watch a ton of playoffs. I'd tune in here or there and see some, you know, games and whatnot. But I just remember every time I turned on the TV and we were playing at home and you know, Bryce and all the guys are hitting homers and whatnot, that place was just popping. So, you know, I think when you win, that happens, right? Like, you got to earn that. You got to earn that from the fans. So, these guys did it last year. They earned it, but it's a new year and we got to do it again. So, you know, early on, expect a lot of energy, obviously. And I know we're going to be excited, but we got to earn that all year. We got to play well. And if we do, then, you know, that'll continue.
You mentioned Kevin Long. A lot of guys in this team have been with Kevin here and in other spots. What makes him such a good hitting coach? Because it feels like every stop he's been, Yankees, yeah. Mets, Nationals here, everyone just raves about this guy.
Yeah, I ask myself that sometimes too. I think there's two things. That one, I think he's smart and he knows hitting and he knows how to dumb it down, right? So hitting can be so complicated, but you go back to Little League and just kind of see ball, hit ball. So he's got a little bit of both where it's, you know, he can really dive into it or he can just really dumb it down. And then he just makes it fun and he makes you believe kind of in yourself. So I think that's another important thing offensively is, you know, sometimes I'm like, man, you like that? And he goes, yeah, it looks great. And I wonder sometimes if he's just lying to me or, you know, it actually looks good. So, I don't know. He's my favorite. I think, in Washington, he really helped my career out and really, took me to the next level. So I'm a big believer in him. And I know, you know, a lot of guys over the years have really believed in him. So, for me, it's the results. It's hard to argue against the results. And, I just like being around him. He's a fun guy and he loves the win.
What's Topper like? I know you were out for a couple of weeks at the World Baseball Classic, but it just seems like from last year to this year, the one thing I noticed about him, he's just always calm. Like,
yeah.
He's just always that way.
Yeah, I was going to say first word that comes to mind is calm, chill. Same guy every day, and for me, that's most important. I don't really care, you know, who you are or what you are, but it just be the same person every day, and he's the same guy every day, and it's fun playing for him. He's just calm and funny. He's a good dude. And another thing, that's another person I've just heard so many good things about coming into this. We'll go to the World Baseball Classic, and I'm talking to all these, you know, former players and coaches and stuff, and they're, you know, how is he? He's awesome. He's the best, isn't he? And it's just, it's always good things, and it's been fun playing for him. I'm really excited to, you know, get the season going and get in the heat of it with him.
How's Bryce changed over the years? It's, you know, you've known him a long time now, Nationals, and now to here. I mean, last year when he got up and hit the home run against the Padres to put the Phillies in the World Series, I felt like we watched him. He matured. Like, I don't know if he hits that home run when he's 25. He was so calm. I'm sure you've seen the highlight or if you're watching him when it happened. He's just, when he's in the plate now, it just feels like he's so calm. What have you noticed knowing him for as long as you have?
Yeah, no, I think he was always pretty clutch. I feel like I remember him hitting some big homers in the postseason for the Nats when I was there. So, I mean, the clutch aspect, I think, was always there. He's kind of made for that moment, right? You know, when he's 15, 16, he was in the spotlight. So he's made for that moment. But I think just more of the leadership, you know, when I played with him, that we had a really veteran team, and he was a leader, you know, in a different way there. You know, I think now it's just kind of everything's on his shoulders here, and over the last 3-4 years, he's recruited a lot of these guys and got the front office to buy in, and, you know, I think I talked about it when I signed here. That's a lot of it, you know, to his credit. So I just think the leadership's a little different. Same guy, same player, just always been a good player, always been a good person, but now just a different leadership role, and he's taking it on really well, and he's running with it, and he's doing a good job.
Great stuff. Look, Trey, we appreciate you hopping on here with us, giving us a few minutes, and good luck this season.
Thank you.
Philadelphia's going to love your game, and would you say 50 steals, Hugh?
At least 50.
50?
I think you
we'll
got
see.
It in.
Yeah. I hope 50. That means I'm on base a lot. That's
there
all
we
I care
go.
About.
Let's say 30 homers, 50 steals.
That's, I love
that
it.
Seems simple. Trey, we appreciate it, man. Thank you. Trey Turner,
appreciate
everyone, joining us here on the Midday Star. Coming up next, we'll continue to react to the Rhys Hoskins injury. Who needs to step up? Castellanos Boehm. And you can react to our interview here with Trey Turner. We can't go through the entire day today without addressing the football world turning upside down yesterday. Ezekiel Elliott wants to play for the Eagles. What is going on around here? We'll react. We'll talk about it all. 215-592-9494. That is how you hop aboard. It is the Midday Show. We are live from BayCare Ballpark, Clearwater, Florida, on Sports Radio 94 WIP. This March, protect yourself against upsets with Bracket Parlay Insurance on FanDuel Sportsbook in partnership with Valley Forge Casino. Right now, all customers get up to $25 back each day if your parlay of three legs or more falls one leg short. short. Hop on there right now. I like Creighton tonight to take care of Princeton. With a parlay, you could turn a small bet into a slam dunk. And with cash out, you're calling the shots. You could close out your bet whenever you want before the game is over. FanDuel Sportsbook is the official partner of 94WIP. I really like the FanDuel app. Just sign into your FanDuel Sportsbook account or go to FanDuel.com/GIGLIO to sign up today. That's FanDuel.com/GIGLIO. Make every moment more with FanDuel, America's number one.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Welcome back. Sports Radio 94 WIP. It is the midday show. Hugh Douglas, Joe Giglio, 215-592-9494. Kyle Quinn behind the glass. You guys with us, a lot to discuss here. We just got a chance to sit down with Trey Turner. That was awesome. Hugh, my favorite part was you threw out 50 steals and he didn't shy away from it.
He did not bat an eye.
Nope.
He just looked at me and he kind of smiled. Let me tell you one thing that I know for a fact, man. Most times players have a number in their head of what they want to accomplish. Like, you don't confirm or deny it. He didn't deny it. He didn't confirm it. But he thinks about how successful he wants to be. He's a very calculated guy. You know, because there was another question I asked him. I asked him about his workout regimen. He was very he kept that close to the vest.
Yeah.
Because you don't want anybody to know, because it's sacred to you as an individual. He's an intense dude, man. I like what I heard from him. I like the way that he talks about the game. He's very, very serious about it. I think he's going to be an exciting season for Trey Turner here in Philadelphia.
Yeah, and I'll say this, you know, and we'll do predictions next week and all that kind of stuff, but he has the kind of skill set that if they let's just say they're able to stay near first place without Bryce for half season, without Reese for the whole season, he's going to be in the MVP consideration.
Yeah, no question about
it. If he's stealing 50 bases and hitting about 30 home runs, those are MVP numbers.
But did you see how his eyes lit up a little bit when he talked about how he talked about how there's going to be more opportunities to steal bases?
Yeah.
Because of the pitch clock.
Well, and the thing he mentioned about the pickoff, so now you can only try to pick off a batter twice.
One, he said, okay, twice, yeah.
So after that, if the pitcher steps off the mound, he has to get the runner out. Otherwise, he just gets second base.
Yeah.
It's a free steal.
So he's figuring out ways. Like, cause see, everybody's been trying to figure out this whole pitch clock thing and how it's going to work to the advantage and all this stuff. He has a philosophy. Or what should I say, a game plan in mind for how he's going to handle it. It's going to be exciting to watch him play.
Yeah,
and the fact that the game is going to be sped up. Yeah, it's going to be exciting.
Yeah, and no shifts. I mean, he's got a lot of also infield hits because he's so fast. So if you know he, that ball just kind of dies in the infield, he's on base. That was fun talking to him. 215-592-9494 to react to anything Trey Turner had to say. And, of course, our discussion here on who's the X factor, who needs to step up the most with Rhys Hoskins out for the season with a torn ACL. All right, we'll get back to the calls here in a second on all things Phillies, Hugh. But we have to discuss this. I was wondering when we got down, I was like, all right, you know, we're kind of Philly-centric for a couple days, and we have a lot of interviews and obviously some great guests. I wonder how much Eagles we would talk. And I was like, oh, they probably won't make a move over down here. Well, they did restructure Lane's deal, so Lane gets a big raise in an extension, or, you know, an extra year in an extension. But the one here that everyone in Philadelphia is losing their mind over, it happened when we got off the air yesterday, is Adam Schefter reporting that Ezekiel Elliott wants to make a decision on his future by the end of the week, and he has a wish list of three teams he wants to play for. The yes. Bengals, the Jets, and the Philadelphia Eagles. Hugh Douglas, when you saw it, as we await for where Zeke's going to sign, what's your feeling? Like, do you want Zeke here on the Eagles? Because he wants to be an Eagle.
You know, it was funny. I had a couple thoughts. Number one was, can he still play? Which, I don't know, and what kind of role they would use him in. Because he looked pretty done last year. I don't know how they would use him. And second of all, I was thinking, how long has Ezekiel Elliott wanted to be an Eagle?
Like, because, is this now, or has he always thought about it?
Yeah, yeah, because that's not – like, listen, when I went into free agency, one of my thoughts was not to play for the Dallas Cowboys. That was not a thought. Like, I visited the Giants, but I definitely was never going to play for the Giants. To be a guy that's in that position – it kind of makes you wonder, when you put that out there, knowing the hatred between these two teams, mm-hmm. it's like, how long have you been pining for or looking over the fence at that Philadelphia Eagles grass and want to be a part of that thing? That's what I kind of thought. It just kind of made me wonder. Because that's a weird thing to me, man. Especially when you know the history and the hatred between these two teams. That's a weird thing to me.
Yeah, it is. And here's the other thing about the history and hatred between the teams. When the Eagles sign Cowboys, they usually stink in Philadelphia. Yeah. I mean, this is the way it's worked forever. I mean,
DeMarco, who was that? Bono was the kicker,
Chris Bonio,
right?
Yeah.
Chris
Bonio,
I called him Bonio. Bonio?
Yeah. Chris Bonio.
But it's still spelled the same, isn't it?
B-O-N. There's an L on there.
It's a L?
Yeah, I believe so.
Bungholitis.
Yeah. Here's what I know. Zeke, Ezekiel, Elliott, however you want to spell it, two L's, two T's, whatever. I don't want him. I don't want – this guy's washed. What are we doing here getting all excited about this?
Can I just take this moment and just take one shot and then I'm going to leave it alone?
Go ahead.
But wouldn't you love to see Zeke in his midriff and Fletcher Cox in his blouse go to church on Sunday?
No.
You know what? And I'm going to leave it alone. That's it. That's all I got to say
for the content. For the content, you might be able to sway me.
Zeke in his midriff and Fletcher in his blouse on church on Sunday with some church hats. Easter Sunday. Easter's coming around.
It's coming up. Yeah. You think he's going to sign before Easter?
If he signs before Easter, him and Fletcher got to go to church. And Fletcher has to wear that blouse that he wore for the Super Bowl, and Zeke has to wear that outfit that he wore at the draft with his belly out.
Yeah, and then all the grandmas, and they could take pictures together
at
church.
At church with the little flowers and the hats and stuff. Yeah, that'd be awesome.
Hey, listen, now that's one reason to want him. Every other reason tells me no. I don't want Ezekiel Elliott. I mean, I look at the trend line here. He's going the wrong way. I mean, we know this happens to running backs, obviously, but he's had a ton of carries in his career. And you look at his yards per touch, yards per carry, it's all on the decline. I mean, there is a chance this guy is washed, and I don't want the Eagles to use whatever little cap room they have left on a running back. Kyle Quinn, what would you feel when you saw the news that Zeke wanted to be an Eagle?
Yeah, so I'm going to refrain from speaking from the perspective of Kyle Quinn, the WIP producer.
Yes.
Because I think we know that opinion's a little bit different.
It's a spicy one.
It's a spicy one.
Super spicy.
So I'm going to speak strictly as Kyle Quinn, the Eagles fan, and I could not be any more out on bringing Ezekiel Elliott to this team. We're talking about bringing in a guy who at best gives you a decent backup rotational running back option, and at worst, instantly catapults into maybe the most hated player in franchise history. And I know the first person everybody's mind goes to is DeMarco Murray.
Yeah.
But with DeMarco Murray, there was at least a high reward element to that signing. With Ezekiel Elliott, this seems to me like it's a high-risk, low-reward signing to bring Ezekiel Elliott in here. And I don't even want to touch that.
Yeah, because my thing is this. I'm wondering what exactly is his role going to be. We know we have a situation with Rashad Penny here that is probably going to be a running back by committee thing.
Mm-hmm.
I don't understand what is he going to be. I don't know. It would be interesting to see how he did entertain the fact to bring Zeke in here and what their roles would be. Because I would think that if you bring Zeke in here, Rashad, there's a good chance that they'll both probably be here.
Yeah.
You know, so, yeah, I don't know. It's just hard for me to visualize that happening right now.
Yeah, and when it's hard for me to think this guy could still play. I mean, how often do running backs fall as far as Zeke has fallen the last couple of years and then have a resurgence? I mean, it doesn't happen that often.
Well, you keep them in a limited role, and you add value by limiting their carries.
Right.
Because I look at a guy like Dorsey Levens the year that he was here. Him and B. West were in the backfield. Dorsey had his value. Like, Dorsey wasn't your 20 carry back, but when you talk about him and Westbrook together, they were versatile and they served a really good purpose. So maybe that, in that sense, maybe, but it's just kind of hard to say, man, because I can only think of a handful of games that I saw Zeke playing last year, and none of them, he looked great. He didn't look really great.
Yeah, the comp you brought up is an interesting one, Hugh, because I'm looking at, I just pulled up Dorsey Levin's stats here, and he fell down the couple years in Green Bay before he got here, but
yes.
Then his numbers did have a resurgence here. Like, yards per carry, he was at 2.9 and 3.8 before he got here. I'm sure a lot of people in the NFL said he's cooked, but you guys got a lot out of him. He had 5.5 yards per carry, but only 75 carries. That's all he had.
Yes. Yes. So it's a way that you could get value out of him, but you have to limit his role and put him in specific spots where he can be successful.
Yeah, well, you know what? He can go be successful for the Bengals. I don't want it here. I'm out. 215-592-9494. First of all, I don't really see the need either. That's the other part of this. Like, we know Rashad Penny has had injury issues, so maybe it's kind of a hedge on that. But they also have Kenny Gainwell. They have Boston Scott. You look at the numbers last year per carry. Boston Scott and Zeke were basically the same runner. I mean, they averaged 4 yards a carry. Like, there's not much difference there. I don't think they need this guy. There's been so many Cowboys that have come here, and it's been a disaster. Chris Bonial, I mean, most recently is, like, you know, DeMarco Murray. I mean, it was a disaster.
No, dude, most recently is Orlando Scandrick.
Oh, yeah.
that was
a different kind of disaster.
Y'all scarred that man so much so that he ain't got nothing good to say about the city of Philadelphia.
I mean, that guy was wearing an Eagles jersey, and 5 minutes later he's on with Skip and Shannon. I mean, that heel turn happened fast. Yeah,
yeah.
You're right, Kyle. What are the odds it worked out? Like, what are the odds if Zeke put on an Eagles uniform and maybe a church blouse with Fletcher that it would actually work out?
And that's the thing. It's like they call it the definition of insanity, right? How many times you do the same thing over and over again and expect a different result? Cowboys in Philly, it just doesn't work.
Well, they don't. And Elliot actually had a tweet yesterday about this whole situation. And 215-592-9494 to react with us on the Reese Hoskins thing, X Factor Phillies, and of course now discussing Ezekiel Elliott and the idea of him coming to the Eagles. Elliot had a tweet that I loved yesterday about Zeke, and it kind of summed it up. So this is what he said yesterday. Signing Ezekiel Elliott feels like the first step in a, well, that was a disaster season.
Listen. I understand. There's still some young running backs out there. But if you kick the tires on him, maybe he adds value. I don't see it, but maybe that's the case. It's kind of hard to say because we're looking at Zeke and we're trying to measure him from the Zeke that we used to know.
Who was a great player.
Was a hell of a player. And now you have to look at him in a sense that he's not going to be the guy that he used to be. He's not going to be the 25 to 30 carry back that he once was. He can't catch out the backfield, though. He can't do that,
yep.
And he probably could be a good short yardage back. But, again, I look at that as a tell. And what I mean by that is, you know, when Zeke gets out there on the field, you know one or two things going to happen. It's got to be right up the gut or it's going to be a swing pass somewhere. So, yeah, that's a tell to me. So, it's kind of hard to say.
Yeah, I'm out. I don't think there's enough upside for
it. I still wonder
it.
How long he wanted to be an Eagle, though. That to me is intriguing.
Well, I mean, when we saw the report yesterday from Schefter, I was like, he wants – because it's not the Eagles – we haven't heard anything. The Eagles are after him. He wants the Eagles, which obviously is a whole different kind of thing. 215-592-9494.
Don't you think it's a little convenient that the three teams he's interested in are the Bengals,
playoff.
The Eagles, and playoff. The Jets, who might be getting Aaron Rodgers pretty soon? Like,
trying to get that ring, man. He's not a dummy. I'm not – listen, I am not mad at Zeke for trying to go out with a bang. Go to a Super Bowl contender and get a ring that way. Because let's be honest, he wasn't going to get one with the Dallas Cowboys.
Mm-mm. Well, can we blame him for wanting to be with a real winning organization in Philadelphia?
No, you cannot. As we take shots at Dallas Cowboys.
That's right.
He saw a real one. He knew what a real one looked like, and that's why he said Philadelphia.
It just would look so weird if he was in an Eagles uniform. I almost any player you tell me, like, put them in the jersey of a team here, I could kind of close my eyes and do it. It's hard to picture Zeke in an Eagles uniform.
I mean, no, it's not. You know why it ain't hard?
It's hard for me.
Because he wants to be a part of a winning organization.
He's done with losers.
You know what else? He ain't got no VCR. He ain't got no VCR.
How much – it's got to burn Jerry Jones, right? Like, I know they moved on from him. But think about the three teams that he wants to go to. The Bengals, until recently, were a joke. The Jets have been a joke for 50 years. And the Eagles, like, their number one rival. That's where he wants to be.
Yes.
I'm out.
Because they are a much better ran organization.
Well, that is for certain.
Get your 215, damn act together.
Yeah. 215-592-9494. Do you want Zeke? And obviously a lot to react to here on the phones with the Phillies. David is in Cherry Hill. Hey, David.
David.
Hey, thanks for taking my call, guys. A longtime listener. I really like the lineup, morning show, midday and afternoon. Probably spend too much time listening to you guys all day. At least that's what my wife says. But anyway, this whole Ezekiel Elliott thing, come on, guys, really? John this morning all screwed up. He was trying to compare it to the Bryce Harper pickup from Washington. No, let me just – and you know this. Come on. You cannot trade a star player from traditional rivals. That's like the Johnny Damon trade from the Boston Red Sox to the Yankees. That's a no starter. You can't do that. Absolutely.
Wait, before you go on, who compared it to Bryce Harper? Was that one of our hosts or a caller?
Ritchie.
Yes,
said John.
This morning.
Oh,
well, so, okay. But Bryce was a great player still. Like, he had years to go.
No. That's the reason why you can't do it. Those other guys you're talking about, no one even cares. They don't even know who they are. But you can't trade a star from one rival team to the other. Those other guys, Bono, no one even knows who that is. You could trade him and no one even cares. Plus the Washington Nationals, I don't even – they're who cares? They won a World Series, but you can call them the Senators and no one would even know. You can't trade a Dallas Cowboy to the Philadelphia Eagles.
But look at it from the perspective like I was looking at it. Maybe he always wanted to be an Eagle and this is his one time or one chance that he could wear the birds on the side of his helmet.
Come on, that's what he wants.
I think that's what he wants, man. I really do.
It's just like, I'm not mad at an individual, especially with all the money that's out there trying to get their money. But I'm old school. You got to have some loyalty. You know what I'm saying?
I feel you. Like I said, I had an opportunity, even though I did not get drafted by the Philadelphia Eagles. I feel like. You know, and all due respect to the Jets and the fact that they drafted me, I always felt like an Eagle. That's how I always felt that way. And when I went to visit the Giants, to be honest, I went for the meal. I just went for the free meal. Because we ate some swanky-ass restaurant. It was it Nagasaki's or something like that? Well, whatever it was, they had the Wagyu beef. Oh, man, that Wagyu beef was good.
Forget you.
To me, it's like,
I went for the meal.
To me, it's like a criminal transaction. There's like blood money involved. Don't do it.
But you got what if he's just coming for the man? Listen, if Zeke wants to wear an Eagles jersey and they allow it, I think it's great because it's a testament to how much better the Eagles organization is than the Cowboys.
Yeah, I like the spin you're putting on. Like, this is really about how it's the Cowboys thing.
It's about them Cowboys, them Fugazi Cowboy fans. That live here in Philadelphia, that have Ezekiel Elliott jerseys, we'll give them a chance to come to a stadium that they can actually visit because most of them don't never go down to Dallas Stadium. So we'll give them a chance to wear that little Zeke jersey in the stadium to pay homage to, because that's probably the first time they've ever seen him play.
Well, you're probably right. All those Cowboys fans that live, you know, in our area, it will pain them. See Zeke and an Eagle. That is true. It would pain them. Here's the other thing, and here's one good part about wherever he signs. He's not going to kill the Eagles anymore. Like, the fact that he's really run well against the Eagles in his career.
Has.
I mean, you look at his numbers. I mean, he's killed them. So that's over. The Eagles do play the Jets next year, so that he could play them. They don't play the Bengals on the schedule, so maybe a Super Bowl. But, yeah, the one thing is if he signed here, you know, he couldn't kill him anymore. For me, it's not even that he's a Cowboy. I mean, I know the history, and it's not good. I just don't think he's any good anymore.
See, that's the question.
I think there's a chance, Hugh, that this is Todd Gurley all over again, where he goes to training camp with the Jets or the Bengals, wherever he goes, wherever he signs. And then in August, like, they might cut him.
Yeah, he might not be good, but I'm willing to kick the tires on that. And plus, we need to sign him before Easter because I want to see what these Easter outfits look like. I really do. I'm being petty now, but yeah, I just want to see if we can get him and Fletch to wear those Easter outfits.
You know what? That might make the whole thing worth it. That really might. Aaron is in Norristown. What's up, Aaron?
Hey, guys. How you doing today? What's up, you?
What's going on?
Hey, Aaron.
Not much. Hey, so talking about Ezekiel, first of all, I don't think the Eagles are going to sign him, but I know it's a good conversation. But first, I think he'd be like an Ndamukong Suh or a Joseph. He's the kind of guy I don't want to have on the team the whole year because of his age and the amount of tread that he's got left on his tires. I would sign him like 8 games into the season if we need him, number one. Number two, you know, people saying they don't want a Cowboy. Why don't you, next person who says, who calls up, say, if Micah Parsons was a free agent, could we sign him?
Everyone would want him, Aaron. Yeah, yeah.
Hey, wait a minute. That's different.
He's good.
Hey, that's a different conversation.
If a dude can play and help our team, I don't care if he played for Mars. He can play on my team, unless, you know, as long as he's a good dude. And I don't know. I mean, maybe you know better than this year than I would, but is he a problem in the locker room? As long as he's not, I mean, like, I don't think you can compare how he played in Dallas the past 2 years, because their offensive line has been deteriorating with injuries. If you put Zeke behind our offensive line with Jalen at quarterback, I mean, I want to take the pressure off Jalen having to run the ball every fourth down. A player like that could be like getting like a LeGarrette Blount or like a Jay Ajayi middle of the year.
But didn't they just do that, Aaron? They got Penny.
I'm saying, I was going to say, if Penny winds up getting hurt, that's what I was saying.
Right,
well,
right.
He's an insurance policy.
I don't care that he's a Cow. I don't care less
where
he played. I only care about where he plays.
Yeah, but Aaron, let's not pretend the history's not bad. I mean, when these Cowboys come here, they're disasters.
But you know what? I don't give a crap about history. I'm worried about today. And if Micah Parsons got free, could we sign him, or you'd have a problem with that?
No, I would be screaming to go get Micah Parsons.
Come on, man. You already know the answer,
Aaron,
to that.
We know that. Well, one guy's the best defensive player in the sport.
Yeah,
and one
he's
guy's
a beast. He's definitely a beast.
One guy's a goal line back that might go to Sunday church with Fletcher. I mean, I'm trying to win football games. There's Kevin in Philly. He wants Zeke. What's up, Kevin?
No, my whole twist is this. If we get Micah Parsons here, would we say the same thing? That he's coming from our robbery?
Oh, no, not at all.
No, everyone would be excited. They stole him from the Cowboys.
So what's the problem? We know Ezekiel Elliott has the potential.
Does he still have potential? I think the potential left.
But listen, as you've been saying all day, he is not in an organization that has been run good. Sometimes when a guy changes his scenery, you might know he might get rejuvenated.
He might have some value. I'll give you that. He might have some value. He might, but
what? He can catch the ball out of the backfield.
Yeah,
we had Miles Sanders here for all these years. Who could do that?
Yeah, we could. We could definitely use that.
Yeah, he can, and certainly that's not a thing Penny has done in his career. Though I think Kenny Gainwell is going to be a guy who does more of that next year. I don't see the need for it. Like, they can also draft a running back, right? They have Penny, they have Scott, they have Gainwell.
See, that's the thing. There's a lot of moves to be made, and when I say some of the stuff that I say on the station, it's I'm trying to think like a GM. I'm trying to think about potentially how that would fit. You know, because a lot of times we as fans, we look at it and we like to make decisions with our heart, not looking at the bigger picture. The bigger picture is
that is true. That is true.
There's going to be players, like we talk about the safety position. There's going to be players in the draft that we might steal. Think about it like this, man. Every year in the NFL, there's a guy. Brock Purdy was the guy last year.
Oh, yeah.
That fell through the cracks, Mr. Irrelevant, and became a star overnight. That's why the NFL is in a position where they are trying their damnedest not to give guaranteed contracts, because the turnover for the athletes and the stars in that game is so much higher than it is in baseball, than it is in basketball, and I say it in hockey. It's just higher in the NFL.
Well, if you go back and just look at, like, we looked at a list of the top 50 players in the NFL 3 years ago, I imagine the turnover to now is amazing.
Dude, listen.
It's probably how many you think are still top 50 players? Maybe 10? Maybe?
That's it, maybe.
The quarterbacks, usually.
Maybe.
Because they last.
Okay.
That's it.
Here is my twist. Okay, just as you said, he's thinking from the business standpoint of things. Hello?
Yeah, we got you, Kevin. We're listening, buddy.
You have our attention.
I didn't know if I was disconnected.
No, we ain't
hang up on you, brother.
If we look at the few guys that we've been bringing in, I'm starting to think, man, are we creating a hospital here? for the Eagles because everybody's been out for a year, 2 years. We haven't seen them play. We don't know what.
Well, Kevin, you're not wrong. You're not wrong on the safety they brought in. The linebacker missed a year. Penny's always hurt. Kevin, there is something to that. I mean, on the positive side of ZQ, he has been pretty durable. Played a lot.
Yeah. Hospital or geriatric ward, one of them.
Yeah, well, I mean, look at all the old guys they brought. I was trying to tell them 2 weeks ago.
I set you up with that.
The old guys. It's a Eagles retirement home.
You knocked it out of the park.
Yeah, well, Zeke's an old guy, too, now, with all the tire on, you know, and the tread on those tires. 215-592-9494. Robert in Germantown on the Phillies. What's up, Robert?
Robert!
Hey, guys, did you go get that grouper?
I did have some grouper.
Listen, Joe had some grouper bites last night. He said they were the best.
Grouper nuggets, grouper bites. They were good.
A little mojito, a little grouper. You guys are living the life.
Yeah, man. You know, I didn't get the grouper, though. I drank my dinner last night and went to sleep.
Well, Niach 9-0 on Elliott. We don't need him. I don't see he contributes at all. I don't buy it. Hey,
I think it's interesting. I do think it's interesting, though. The whole conversation is pretty interesting.
Yeah, I think so, too. Robert, what do you think on the Phils? Who's stepping up? Who's the X factor?
Well, a question for you. I'm taking a wild guess here that Trey Turner is a native of California. Yes, no, maybe?
No, I think he's from the East Coast.
I think Florida. I think he's from Florida.
Yeah, he's from the East Coast. He's from the East Coast. Because that I remember when free agency was about to start, that was one of the things that he was – well, they said that he might come back this way. And I think he even said in an interview talking about East Coast was important.
Yeah, Boynton Beach, Florida he's from. He's a Florida kid.
Because when you listen to him, you know, dude, chill, blah, blah, blah. It's like California Valley speaking.
Well, he did play for the Dodgers for 2 years, so maybe he picked up on all that stuff, Robert.
Yeah, nice young man. Really excited to see him play. Castellanos, I'm not 100% sure he's going to bounce back. I hope so. I hope Bohm is going to, you know, hit for power and fill in. And they're going to have to do something without a Hoskins. Who's that young guy that they brought up last year that kept hitting the home runs?
Yeah, Derek Hall. And Robert, man, we appreciate it. Sounds like Derek Hall's going to be the guy that gets a lot of time early in the season
at
first base.
That's the name we've been hearing quite a bit so far.
And he's got pop, so we'll see if he can do it over the course of, you know, more ABs. 215-592-9494. That's how you hop board. When we get back, all your phone calls, we'll do a quick Q&A, which we do every Friday at 12. Q&A, your phone calls on the Phillies. Who's the X factor to step up now without Rhys Hoskins? And, of course, Zeke. I mean, just out of nowhere, Zeke wants to play for the Eagles. I'm out. Hugh's intrigued because of the Sunday dressing with Fletcher Cox at church. And we'll take all your phone calls on it. Plus, Kyle Schwarber is going to join us at 12:30. Can't wait to talk to the leader of the Phillies at 12:30. And all your calls throughout the show. Live BayCare Ballpark, Hugh Douglas, Joe Giglio, Sports Radio 94 WIP.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s. And each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.